Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
You said it had to go. Go easy into the summer slumber, gentle and slow. But before its last sacred, secret breath, it spoke of wheels turning in the summer breeze. It told of a wheeled migration where wings and wheels were turned disease into the rivers that gallop upon tires that spin and splash, boogie down.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf is evidently on his way out. Sources telling CBS News he will resign by Monday when Parliament reconvenes. That way he can avoid any effort to impeach him. Teresita Schaefer at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
The big question mark is where he stands with the new leadership in the army. The army leaders aren't going to want to talk about that publicly, but I would say that that is the key thing which will determine whether these rumors are correct or not.
And if hardline or radical Islamists take over the government, will they share with radical militant Islamic groups in the region their nuclear weapons? It's a big concern, and the answer is not yet known. Georgian government officials say Russia now controls one-third of their country and continues to ignore the truce and to take its troops and tanks where it wishes. Secretary of State Rice is in France.
The provisional ceasefire that was agreed to really must go into place, and that means that activities, military activities, have to stop.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates said today, though, the U.S. is not prepared to fight against the Russians for the Georgians. Deny water the oxygen it needs and everything in it dies. And it's been happening a lot lately.
This study in Science counts more than 400 dead zones worldwide, double the UN's previous estimate just 2 years ago.
I think it's really alarming.
Scientist Beth McGee looks out here over the Chesapeake Bay where fish, including feeder stock, are disappearing.
They're suffering because of water quality, and so the crabs are suffering, and now the watermen are suffering.
The EPA estimates nearly 90% of this waterway and its tidal rivers lack enough oxygen for aquatic life.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. Hillary Clinton has brokered a deal with Barack Obama for a traditional roll call at the convention, which means they'll put her name up for nomination.
This seems to me to be a good way for both of them to really finally wrap their arms around one another symbolically and say, let's go forward into the general election.
Vaughn Ververs at CBSNews.com. We drive less, we drive slower, we click it more often, and more of us are staying alive on the highways.
The number of deaths last year down by almost 3% to just over 41,000 people killed on America's roads. And the explanation is not simply that there's less driving with high gasoline prices. The number of fatalities per mile was the lowest ever, says Jim Ports at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Cars are getting safer. And of course, our seatbelt use has gone up.
Though still only 4 out of 5 drivers and front seat passengers are buckled up, room for improvement. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Inflation took an 8/10 jump last month. Economist David Weiss.
A 4% jump in energy prices was just a bit more than we thought was going to happen.
The good news was new jobless claims went down last month, though not as much as the economists had hoped. On Wall Street, the Dow up 83 points. NASDAQ gained 25. Oil at $115 a barrel today. This is CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
You got to break some eggs to make an omelet. It's something every good chef and every good undercover agent knows all too well. And sometimes there isn't a whisk's difference between them.
I told you, I don't want to know anymore.
But actor Sterling Hayden knew plenty, and Julia Child made more than delicious dishes.
The Omelet Show, today on The French Chef.
They were in the OSS, so was Supreme Court Justice Arthur Goldberg, the sons of Ernest Hemingway and Teddy Roosevelt, and big league catcher Mo Berg.
Mo Berg would have made arrangements with a newsboy to have a series of local papers waiting for him.
Charles Pink heads up the OSS Society.
The ability to go in and actually look at their files, I think, is going to prove to be an invaluable resource.
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
A man in Milford, Connecticut, claims he was possessed by demons. That's why he broke the church's windows. He admits punching the windows, which left him with some cuts, and the windows with some blood, a.k.a. DNA evidence. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
How to turn $35 into $180 without a magic wand. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Get an Energy Star qualified programmable thermostat starting at about $35. Step 2. Install your new thermostat and save about 20% on your energy bills, or on average, $180 a year. Step 3. Say abracadabra.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the lead.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Up and down the left coast, from Big Sur in California to the Olympic Peninsula outside Seattle. Shout out to Portland, Missoula, Coos Bay, Eureka, and anybody else listening to podcasts or the live stream of the Peter B. Collins Show. Great to have you with us. In a moment, a live report from the Free Gaza Movement. Their expedition is heading toward Gaza. We'll get the update for you. Faz Shakir will check in from the Center for American Progress. A report that Pervez Musharraf is prepared to resign his position in Pakistan. Also on today's program, a look at energy policy with Kevin Knobloch.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And on the road to hell, we're using gasoline and only getting 10 miles to the gallon. We're going to talk energy policy with Kevin Knobloch later this hour. And then Dan Hamburg, a progressive Democrat who served in Congress from the north of California, including Eureka. He'll be joining us next hour. He's got concerns about Barack Obama's foreign policy positions. We're also going to check in with Colonel Sam Gardner, retired Air Force, who has been monitoring the conflict between Russia and Georgia and U.S. military maneuvers, as well as the positioning of U.S. forces near Iran. That's coming up next hour. Plus, Max Bernstein, who opposes the idea that Barack Obama might choose Evan Bayh as his vice president. He'll check in, and there may even be a song in the mix there. But first, we go to the Mediterranean Sea, where the Free Gaza Movement has a flotilla of two ships, that are on the way from Crete to Cyprus, and then from Cyprus they will set sail for Gaza. And they are challenging the Israeli blockade of Gaza, and they hope to arrive there, weather and other factors permitting, in about a week. And Dr. Paul LaRudy answered the phone a couple of minutes ago and has handed us off to one of his fellow travelers, Huwaida Araf, who is a Palestinian-American and a citizen of Israel. She's a human rights activist, co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement. Huwaida Araf, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, give us a little scene setter. What kind of moonlight do you have, and do you have clear skies tonight?
It is a clear sky, actually, almost a full moon, and we are still in Greek waters.
Mm-hmm.
We are docked for a little bit. We are heading out in approximately 2 hours. We're moving when we can, with different factors taken into consideration, both political, security, atmospheric, and technical. And we've had some kinks and bumps along the way, but we're moving.
Okay. And are there any obstacles that you care to talk about at this point in terms of discouraging responses, say, from the government of Israel?
No, not recently, actually. We know we're feeling, and there have been some talks in the press that they are working behind the scenes on Greek and Cypriot officials in order to apply pressure on them to somehow stop us.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we're feeling a little bit of pressure, but nothing that has taken actually for the past 5-6 days where we have been in a couple of different ports around the Greek island. We felt nothing but support from mm-hmm. all of the people and from even the officials that we've been dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Now, your background is interesting. You're Palestinian-American and a citizen of Israel, so you have, I guess, many claims on your heart. But tell me what it means to you to see the people of Gaza essentially locked in a large cage and their movements, their daily lives, very carefully controlled by the Israeli forces.
Well, first of all, just as a human being, I'm absolutely horrified. As a citizen of not even of the United States or Israel, but of this world, I'm also horrified that people could sit around, or actually our world's leaders can know what's happening and be silent about it. And so I am really concerned about the state of our humanity. That's as a human being. As a Palestinian, I know that for so long, the Israeli government has tried to divide the Palestinian people. We have millions of Palestinians in refugee camps. We have the Palestinians, the citizens of Israel. They have tried to make us feel like we're not connected to the Palestinians of the West Bank and Gaza. We can't travel to certain countries to see our families in the refugee camps in Lebanon and Syria. And so we're very much divided in that sense, and that contributes to a sense of, which I think the Israeli government has focused on it, of making the Palestinian people feel disempowered.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps I can still say I'm a member of the younger generation, which we're trying very much to overcome that, working to overcome that and to unite our people and to say that we will not forget that we are one people and that we have a right to live in freedom and with dignity, and we are not powerless. So in that capacity, I am part of this effort. Although as an Israeli citizen, honestly, I faced possibly a lot of jail time, prosecution on an array of charges that Israel can bring up. I'm hoping that, and we felt that the international community is really behind us, and I'm honored to be part of the group that's working on this. And I think it's important enough that I know the possible consequences, and I'm willing to face it. One, for the people of Gaza, so that they know that the people around the world have not forgotten them, that Palestinians, also from inside the 1948 borders, have not forgotten them.
That's right.
And then just for Palestinian people around the world to say, no, we're not powerless, because I teach human rights law at a local Palestinian university, and I have to struggle to tell my students that human rights law is not just theory, because to them they just think it's theory, doesn't apply to them, because nobody holds Israel accountable.
Well, Hawaida, I'm short of time here, but I really want to thank you for your commentary tonight, your testimony, and you're showing great courage in putting your own life at risk here, and possible penalties by the Israeli authorities. But I fully support what you're doing, and I'm glad that you are on this journey with people of many different nationalities, and I wish you all the best and smooth sailing.
Thank you so much.
Hawaida Araf, Palestinian-American and co-founder of the International Solidarity Movement. And that's live from Greek waters in the Mediterranean. They're on their way from Crete to Cyprus, and then they'll be leaving from Cyprus. They expect to arrive along the shores of Gaza sometime in the middle of next week. And they're being fuzzy a little bit on purpose, somewhat because of weather conditions and also because of the unpredictable nature of Israeli response. Faz Shakir joins us as usual today. He's over at the Center for American Progress, research director, co-editor of the Progress Report, which is on vacation here at the end of August, and he also edits the blog and website called thinkprogress.org. Faz, welcome.
Hey, Peter, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. You know, we're just chugging along the best we can.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at thinkprogress.org here. It turns out that Hyundai and Clean Coal are not on board to sponsor the Democratic National Convention on CNN. Instead, somebody else is in there.
Yes, it's Big Oil. It's ExxonMobil. And, of course, they've got plenty of money to be spending. They racked in, $15 billion last quarter.
That's right.
So, you know, certainly CNN is going to take its slice, and I'm sure plenty of other people are benefiting as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, to be clear, they're not sponsoring the convention itself. They're not contributing money to the Democratic National Committee.
That's right. No, they're spending money on helping CNN with its ground coverage at the convention.
Mm-hmm. Right. Another item at Think Progress is something we first saw earlier today at the New York Times website, that Pervez Musharraf, the president of Pakistan, facing impeachment, is expected to resign in the next few days?
Yeah, that's the word. And, of course, he's been under great duress for the past few weeks. There's been impeachment rumors being circulated by the Pakistan's People's Party, and ever since Benazir's husband took over the People's Party, they've been attempting to oust Musharraf and have been working on negotiating ways to do that in a peaceful way. And then, you know, of course, with Bush's backing, Musharraf has had plenty of pushback in the administration. According to recent reports, Dick Cheney has been also working hard to maintain Musharraf's hold on power. You know, in Pakistan, they call him Musharraf. Hmm. That's how unpopular he is. And so without the U.S.'s support, Musharraf would fall very quickly. And it now looks like the U.S. is going to pull its support.
I like to call him Perv, and he's our Perv.
Yeah.
Now, Faz, who are we going to install?
We got plenty of those, by the way, and especially in the United States Congress.
Yes, we do. So who is the U.S. going to install there? Is Alawi available, Chalabi, anybody that we've been training over at Langley to step in and run that for us?
Yeah, it's unclear. I mean, that's one of the big problems, and it's been the argument that the administration, Bush administration, has used for not supplanting Musharraf, as they'd say, well, there's nuclear power. This is somebody who's been a great recipient of USA. We've invested a lot in them, and we don't know who would fill the vacuum. That's true, we still don't. But I think the fears that have been circulated about Pakistan falling into anarchy, I think, are overblown. Certainly, you know, there are democracies who has a rich tradition of electing and people and having people who they trust as their leaders. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there have been military coups in the past, but I don't think we're going to see that here.
Well, I hope you're right. My concern is that the history of Pakistan is that the military has stepped in whenever they found, instability, or when they just found an opening to depose a freely elected like Nawaz Sharif in 1999.
Yeah.
And also the leading choices, Benazir Bhutto's widower is Zardari, and he's got a lot of baggage, and Sharif himself has quite a bit of baggage. And so I think it'll be fascinating, and I just hope that the U.S. will not interfere and allow for real self-determination by Pakistan.
And you're absolutely, that's exactly what the Pakistanis want as well. And ever since the sacking of the Chief Justice back a few months ago, that's what the Pakistani public has been tilting strongly towards, and we're the only ones who stand in the way of that desire on behalf of the Pakistani people.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return with Faz Shakir. You can read all about it at thinkprogress.org. That's thinkprogress.org. And as we continue, I want to talk about how American Airlines has blinked, and they won't be imposing those baggage charges, at least not on American troops. We'll talk about that and more as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Buy your tickets online and save big.
MontereyCountyFair.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 10 minutes away, we're going to talk energy policy with Kevin Noblock from the Union of Concerned Scientists.
I don't know what matters to you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
Well, fine, thank you, Gnarl. That's Gnarls Barkley from the latest release. It's called Charity Case.
With us is Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report and research director there at the Center for American Progress in Washington. And Faz, a hot item here at thinkprogress.org today. CBS News, bottom of the ratings, and Katie Couric's future is uncertain. And, of course, they had a flap recently over some weak journalism, shall we say. And CBS has decided to try something totally different and cover the issues in the presidential campaign. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, not only just cover them, but they say they're going to devote 35 episodes to it. So that's quite a commitment, and we hope that they follow through. And they're supposed to run, you know, 6 to 8 minute segments on the policy issues through the convention. And so, yeah, we're anxious to see how it turns out. Hopefully it actually is a substantive policy discourse, but oftentimes what you find from the media packaging these things is that they're more interested in having the public perceive that they are interested in policy and then go about their business as usual when it comes to actual coverage.
Yeah, because we were talking about the way the media has been mildly self-critical this week because they failed to jump on the tabloid story about John Edwards early enough.
That's right.
And I believe that self-examination is really just for the opportunity to talk more about the salacious details of the affair than it is to actually offer a critique of the media's role or failure.
I also think that they're just sad that they didn't get in the high ratings earlier. I mean, I think that that's part of it. They understand they're getting heat not only for not having covered it before from I don't know who, but certainly they're getting it from advertisers who would have wished that they would have jumped on it sooner because it there's no doubt that the ratings do spike and have spiked.
Well, we're waiting for them to buy a copy of the Inquirer. It's, a buck and a half. And front page, boozing Bush splits with Laura. Come on, give us the details.
Yeah.
Now, Faz, one of the things that took some heat this week is I, like many people, are just really frustrated with the airlines in general. But this nickel and diming over baggage hit a high point because troops who were on their way to deployment in Iraq were being charged $100 for their extra duffel bags, and the airline said, well, don't worry, they can get the expense money back from the Pentagon. Yeah, right, 9 months later they might see it. But American Airlines has blinked. Fox News has taken credit. What do you sniff out here?
Well, that's exactly what happened. So they American Airlines finally backed down and said that they would not be charging the troops for the extra baggage on their way to the war zone. Fox News this morning said that they're the ones that take credit for everything because they reported on it first, which in fact they did not. They also said that Barack Obama was watching their show, and that's how they learned. That's why he issued a statement condemning American Airlines policy, because he was watching Fox News, which, of course, again, it's a lot of self-aggrandizing, as you're well aware of. It's a common theme throughout the Fox News network, taking undue credit for whatever.
Well, they do it between every whoosh.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, O'Reilly's made a living off it. So, the bottom line is that it's a good thing that American Airlines changed its policy. And I'm with you on the nickel and diming stuff. I mean, it's getting out of hand. Did you see that they're charging for pillows now?
Pillows, blankets,
on JetBlue.
Water.
Yeah.
Air will be next. And, now the one thing I would do is I would pay extra not to be seated next to a guy who had a big lunch and is really gassy. If they could clear the air around me, I might pay a premium for that. But, gosh, they want to charge you now to bring your legs. Extra leg room is $28.
That's right, yeah. There's no end to this.
Yeah. All right, time for one more, Faz, and that is there's too much speculation about the vice presidential picks, and we've got a guy coming up later who's against Evan Bayh, and I'm actually on board with that. I don't really want to see him on the ticket. But on the Republican side, McCain has said that he couldn't pick a pro-gay rights running mate, so that leaves billionaire Mike Bloomberg out, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's not what we're saying, Peter. That's what John McCain himself said. He said that he told the Weekly Standard that, it was National Review, that he can't take somebody, he can't take Bloomberg specifically because of his stance on being pro-gay rights. Mm-hmm. Which was interesting and compelling enough because he claims to be somebody who is for equal opportunity and has a strong record of standing up for gay marriage, against gay marriage, the gay marriage amendment in 2004.
So McCain could handle Tom Ridge, who is pro-choice, but not Bloomberg, who is pro-gay.
That's right.
Okay, I'm glad we cleared that up. Faz, thank you very much. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you later, Peter.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. If you've been wondering whether the housing foreclosure crisis is still a big deal...
And we're up 55% from July a year ago.
The answer is yes. More after this.
Say you're driving along without a TomTom GPS, and you realize you're low on gas. You could just find the nearest station, even though the price seems a little bit high. And as the numbers on the screen march onward and upward like some never-ending journey toward bankruptcy, you start to wonder why your gas tank never seems so bottomless, or if there's just some gremlin in there guzzling away all your hard-earned dollars. Or you could use a TomTom. With daily fuel price updates, TomTom finds you the lowest price on gas and directs you right to it. TomTom. Go confidently.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Bowl.
In 1984, American Joan Benoit convincingly won gold in the first ever women's marathon competition. You, on the other hand, ran out of breath after two blocks, tripped over your dog, and strained the arch of your left foot. Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
It's dropped out of the news, but the hangover from the mortgage orgy continues. Figures for July show that more than 272,000 homes received at least one notice warning of foreclosure, 55% more than a year ago. And Rick Sharga, the vice president of RealtyTrack, points out that because states are looking for ways to soften the blow, that figure may, in fact, understate the problem.
A little bit of uncertainty in the numbers based on a lot of state and local legislation that may be sort of falsely tamping down some of the initial notices of default.
One figure is pretty firm, however. In July, luck finally ran out for 77,000 homeowners who suddenly became former homeowners when unpaid lenders repossessed their property. Another figure, of the 4.5 million homes on sale in June, about 17% were foreclosures.
California is really setting the pace in terms of the number of properties in some stage of foreclosure. Just behind California are Florida, Ohio, Arizona, and Michigan.
Well, buyers have complained for years about the high price of owning a home. Here's your chance. One family's misery is another family's bargain. Except even at fire sale prices, buyers can be hard to find. Lenders like Fannie Mae now have so many repossessed properties on their books, they're considering selling them off in bulk to investors. But maybe that means the worst is over. This all sounds sufficiently punitive to me. Maybe we've finally wrung the excesses out of the market so we can get back to the happy days of rising, or at least solid, home prices. How about it?
I don't see any market-driven stability until probably late in 2009.
That'd be more than a year from now. Well, the president signed a housing rescue bill last month. That might work some magic. And in 20 or 30 years, we'll forget this ever happened, thereby pretty much guaranteeing it'll happen again. The Osgood File, Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Yeah.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Hey, oil supplies getting a little tight. What do you say we drill in your backyard, huh? Now, come on, if we drill in your backyard, you'll have petrodollars just flowing out your ear. Then you'll be able to live la vida loca. Continuamos de la programa de Peter B. Collins. Transmito en vivo. All right, I'm out of Spanish, sorry. I could order a burrito, but that's about it. This half hour, we want to take a look at an energy policy and the debate that's underway between the presidential candidates and the political parties. And to join us, as always, we like to invite somebody who knows more than your humble host. Kevin Knobloch is president of the Union of Concerned Scientists. He's on his second stint there. He's got more than 30 years' experience in legislative policy and advocacy. And he recently served as chair of the Green Group, which is a coalition of the CEOs of 34 national environmental organizations. And he is co-chair of the Green Group Climate and Energy Committee. So he's got a lot of expertise to offer us today, and we need it. Kevin, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you so much, Peter. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I wanted to start off just with a kind of general baseline of what you think intelligent energy policies are for the United States at this point. And you know, then we'll kind of tie it into some of the political messages that are out there. But you're a scientist, and I'd like to know from a pure science basis what you see as the best route forward.
Well, Peter, I think that the best route forward is to dramatically reduce the amount of energy that we use, or certainly the amount of fossil fuel energy that we use. You know, we're kind of in this pickle that we're in today because we didn't make the hard and long-term decisions 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So we're really now at a point with both global warming charging at us hard and gas pushing above $4 a gallon, home heating oil prices in the northern parts of the country. You know, people are facing $3,000 and $4,000 heating bills this coming winter. We're really at the point where let's make the smart decisions, and now the not so hard decisions, so that we can turn this around.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an array of solutions at hand. You know, an aggressive rollout of renewable energy, the state of the art wind turbines, photovoltaic, bio energy, geothermal. You know, Congress just passed at the end of last year a 10 mile per gallon increase in fuel economy, which is going to bring great savings to consumers, and we know we can double and triple mm-hmm. that kind of a gain.
And just a quick note: aren't we still in a stalemate where the solar tax credits have not been renewed and they'll expire at the end of this year?
This is one of the absurdities of participatory democracy, Peter. That nuclear energy and coal and oil get these tremendous multi-year and very generous tax subsidies from the Congress, and yet the renewable sector, which is growing hand over fist, creating all kinds of jobs, expanding the tax base in all kinds of communities, has to, on an annual basis, fight and claw to get a one-year extension of the renewable energy production tax credit. And we're seeing all kinds of jobs and projects now at risk of being shut down. And yet the folks who often happen to be champions of the oil and gas industry and the coal sector are fighting even a one-year extension, which has to happen before the end of this year.
Well, and we've seen leading Democrats, and this pains me, Kevin, who were saying they would not agree to lift the ban on offshore drilling, are now, you know, cracking the door there and saying, well, an itty-bitty bit of offshore drilling would be okay, you know, if we get all these other things we need. And certainly, I want the renewables, and I want the solar tax credit. But we see that the politicians who are captive to the resource industries, and they're not all Republicans. I think of the fine Senator Landrieu from Louisiana, the new senator from oil and gas. And so, you know, we have this logjam where the factors are very clear. That we have to reduce our dependence first on foreign oil and then on oil altogether, because we have hit peak oil and we just have to accept that we have to move in other directions for energy. And this is compounded by the climate change issues that, you know, were denied and obfuscated for the first 5 or 6 years of the Bush administration. And finally at the G8 summit, you know, he allowed some voluntary targets to be set. But, you know, it is amazing that we have been churning through this with the cost increases, the supply decreases, and the global warming factors. And yet, you know, people are still driving their SUVs and acting like nothing's changed.
It is a distressing situation. You know, I think that you can understand why politicians are eager to look for a near-term fix, because, you know, people are hurting, and high gas prices, high food prices is a double whamming hitting people, that for people of fixed income, modest income, that these things are just hitting them very hard. So you can understand that, but the key thing to ask anybody who promises that offshore oil drilling, you know, expanding the few remaining very precious offshore oil areas that are not open to drilling is going to lower gas prices. The key questions to ask is if we drill, when will that lower my prices and by how much? The U.S. Department of Energy, under this Bush administration, concluded in a report last year, and I quote, that access to the Pacific, Atlantic, and Eastern Gulf regions would not have a significant impact on domestic crude oil and natural gas production or prices before the year 2030. And then they went on to say, Peter, that 22 years from now, the impact on prices would be negligible. And that's because oil is part of an international market, that companies from India and China can bid for the leases in our country. They go to the highest bidder. And that oil will not necessarily go toward lessening our dependence on imported oil. So I'm afraid it's just that this fraud that's out there that is actually detracting us from doing the things that we know need to be done and that will, in fact, lessen people's, the impact on people's wallets.
Well, and many of these political figures, again, of both parties, ignore the reality and the facts that the oil companies are making huge profits. And they make the case, oh, this is just part of the cycle, and we invest so much in exploration and research and development, and this is just the normal, you know, we roll up the profits now, and it'll be lean a few years from now. So don't think of us as you know, obscene profiteers. Well, the biggest thing the oil companies are doing right now with their mega profits is buying back stock to, you know, beef up the value of these corporations. They are not taking these windfall profits and using it to try to expand supply, even using the leases that have already been granted.
It is extremely true, you know, it's not as though the federal government is blocking them from getting their permits. The reality is that the number of new offshore oil drilling permits has tripled during the Bush administration years, and in the same time frame, we're paying triple for gas than we were in 2001. And U.S. domestic production is increasing. It's increased at four times the rate of consumption, and yet, again, prices are still skyrocketing. Now, this has all the markings of the oil and gas industry and their champions in the administration and in the Congress, really grabbing for the few remaining pristine areas when Americans are feeling especially vulnerable. And it's really, really not a pretty sight. You know, at the same time they're having these record profits, the American taxpayers provide $30 billion a year in subsidies to the oil and gas industry. And we think some of the smartest ideas out there is to take back those subsidies. They clearly don't need them. And take that revenue and give it back to the American taxpayer in the form of vouchers that people can use to get their cars tuned up, to buy more fuel-efficient tires, to buy a more fuel-efficient vehicle. And, you know, it's that old saying of you know, give a person a fish and they won't be hungry for a day. Teach them the fish and they won't be hungry again in their lifetime. If we can get the resources to people so they can buy the more efficient products, heating, cooling systems, appliances, vehicles, then that's going to help offset these higher energy prices.
Kevin Knobloch is president of the Union of Concerned Scientists. If you have a question or comment, he's with us till the top of the hour. Call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The website is ucsusa.org. For Union of Concerned Scientists, ucs.usa.org. So, Kevin, again, I respect your position, and I'm not asking you to take sides here. But recently there was a speech by candidate Barack Obama where he outlined energy policy in some detail. And then some sniping came from the McCain campaign where they passed out little tire gauges and said, oh, his energy policy is about filling up our tires. And I'd like you to, if you would, just comment on the veracity of some of these things, because what Obama actually said after laying out a plan that included investment in renewable energy and other sources that don't have as much of a carbon footprint, he was asked a question about, well, what can we do now? And he made the point that if every American properly inflated their tires and tuned up their cars, that we would actually save more. We would conserve more oil and the gasoline product that comes from it than we would by drilling in Anwar and in all of the offshore positions or areas that have been advocated by the pro-drilling team. Is that a relatively correct factual statement on Obama's part?
You know, Peter, I don't know that precise statistic, but he is certainly on solid ground. If we keep our tires inflated, our analysis shows that we can boost the fuel economy of our vehicle by about 3%, and that's equivalent to about 11 cents a gallon at the pump. If you replace a dirty air filter, that alone can boost mileage by as much as 10%, that's equivalent to 35 cents on a gallon.
Really?
I
didn't know about the air filter part. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm going to change my air filter. You keep talking.
and we think of all the stuff that's piled in the back of our vehicles. We're carrying around extra weight, and if you can get 100 pounds out of your vehicle, or for every 100 pounds that extra weight in your vehicle, your fuel economy decreases by 1 to 2%.
All right, kids, you're walking. Go ahead, Kevin. I'm taking notes here.
The point is, at first blush it might seem silly, oh, you put air in your tires, but this stuff starts to add up, and it can save us real money. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired at the end of a work day. I've earned my money, and to actually send it out of the tailpipe, because I want to seem somehow hip that I'm not worrying about how much I put in my tank. It's a funny thing that people get into their heads.
Yeah, Kevin Knobloch's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And just for reference, earlier this week I filled up my tank for $4.05 a gallon, unleaded regular, and that same station is down to $4.01 after it peaked at about $4.76 about a month and a half ago. So a little bit of encouragement there, but I think they're just playing with me. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how it feels. We'll take a break and return with Kevin Knobloch from the Union of Concerned Scientists. My number is 888-5-PETER-B.
this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's Progressive Voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself!
Cindy Sheehan will be speaking at the Vets Hall in Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 14th. Are you angry at Nancy Pelosi for telling America that impeachment is off the table and for scheduling votes to continue funding the war on the people of Iraq and to authorize spying on Americans by the Bush administration? Join Cindy Sheehan Thursday, August 14th at the Veterans Memorial Building on Front Street in downtown Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. Browse to vetshall.org for more information. This event is sponsored by the Green Party of Monterey County.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Your mission, Mr. Phelps, is to go to Beijing, not Beijing, Beijing, and grab all the gold you can. Well, it seems like he's following orders. Now, another impossible mission that we face is to restructure America's energy system and try to avoid some of the pitfalls of the past. And one of the areas that I'm quite concerned about, that I now want to talk to Kevin Knobloch, president of the Union of Concerned Scientists, about, is the resurgence of nuclear power. There is a whole effort underway, fueled by the Nuclear Energy Institute, to try to simplify the process of certifying new nuclear power facilities, and to try to limit the amount of public input, environmental impact reports that can occur. And, of course, that was the formula that brought us Diablo Canyon, that was built on the Hosgree Fault. And they didn't discover that until well into the construction of the project. And then later they discovered that they'd built the cooling system 100% backwards, and that led to a whole series of boondoggles that I believe were a part and parcel of our blackouts here in the early part of this decade. But Kevin Knobloch, what we see going on now is they're trying to market nuclear power to us as a response to global warming. And they try to simplify it and say, well, look, there's no smokestack there. So you don't have to worry about that. But the cooling systems for nuclear power plants require loads of water. That water leaves those plants heated and ends up warming the bodies of water that they draw it from.
And not only that, we have not solved the nuclear waste issue. So what is your sense of moving forward and trying to build a new generation of nuke power plants in this country?
Peter, your assessment is right. The nuclear industry is positioning itself as a climate solution, as sort of a positive white hat part of the equation. Our sense that the climate scientists that on my organization, on our board, are so concerned about the pace of global warming, and worried about whether we have enough tools to deeply reduce our emissions, they are willing to take a fresh look at nuclear energy. And your listeners can go to our website and search for nuclear power in a warming world, a new report that came out that we put out at the end of last year that took that fresh look. And the bottom line is that nuclear energy is not ready for prime time as something, as a technology we can lean on heavily to reduce, pick up a big share of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It has a number of very serious vulnerabilities. You've referred to several of them, the use of water, the waste stream. The one that really popped out of this analysis that wasn't talked about a lot was the vulnerability of nuclear reactors to sabotage, to terrorist attack. Today, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission doesn't require that new reactors or even existing reactors or even new reactors be able to withstand an attack from a jetliner.
Mm-hmm.
Which before September 11th might have been forgiven, but now we know it's not beyond our imagination or reality. The spent fuel rods that are stored on site at the 104 reactors across this country are not carefully protected and stored, and we have some very explicit recommendations of what we can do to secure that spent fuel rod material on site until we can find a long-term repository. But a long-term repository for that waste is not in sight. And lastly, the economics continue to be terrible for this technology.
Well, Kevin, we don't have to worry about that because they're going to make a cookie-cutter reactor, and General Electric is going to be that great American company that steps up and says, well, we'll build them all, and they'll all be the same. And we're learning from the past, and we're going to make, the single best reactor. But that's just a way of avoiding site-specific certification for the actual reactor that's installed in a specific plant, isn't it?
Well, that's right. I think there's some wisdom to going to more uniform designs, but there are just much much bigger problems facing this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street hasn't agreed to fund a reactor in over 30 years, and it's the most heavily subsidized of any of the energy technologies by the U.S. taxpayer.
Well, in that last energy bill last December, they had a gift from Pete Domenici to the nuclear industry, some liability insurance, and that survived despite all of the renewable aspects that were cut, and, of course, the windfall profits tax from that same energy bill. Kevin, I wanted to turn to a post that's on your website and ask you for a quick explanation. It was posted August 4th, and it reads, nuclear fuel test failure should trigger suspension of weapon-grade plutonium fuel use. So this suggests that there's been an effort to use weapons-grade plutonium to fuel U.S. nuclear energy, electrical reactors?
That's right. This is one of the latest schemes that in particular the Bush administration has come up with, which is the idea would be, as we're taking apart old nuclear warheads, we would reprocess that this kind of material to extract fuel for our reactors. But our scientists believe this is extremely reckless because we might be able to assure certain protections in this country, but if this technology proliferates through the world, you're basically this reprocessing technology. You're going to provide an easy opportunity for terrorists to get their hands on this nuclear material to create fashion nuclear bombs that they would then potentially use against our own populations. And we just think it's an extremely reckless way to go. We should be safeguarding that material and not heading down this reprocessing road.
And the idea was fueled by the French, who have a reprocessing system, but it's very carefully controlled by the government and the military, is it not?
It is indeed, but it's also not without problems. You know, what you're referring to is taking materials from nuclear weapons is also a proposal of the Bush administration to take the nuclear waste from commercial reactors and again extract the plutonium, the uranium. Mm-hmm. To reuse in reactors.
Kevin, I'm sorry, I got to stop us there. I'm out of time.
Okay.
But I want to thank you for joining us. A pleasure talking with you. Kevin Knobloch, the president of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Peter.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Shake up at the top in Pakistan.
President Pervez Musharraf has decided to resign.
Russian tanks on the move in Georgia.
Secretary of Defense Gates is warning Moscow there will be consequences.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Pakistan's pro-U.S. President Pervez Musharraf has been on shaky ground since a new coalition government was elected. He's been threatened with impeachment and a charge of treason, which carries the death penalty. Now, CBS News reporter Farhan Bakari in Islamabad says Musharraf will step down.
The president is likely to resign by Sunday, according to one senior government official. He would continue to stay in exile, and the politicians have agreed that they would not impeach him, and also they would not press any charges against him.
CBS News consultant Jerry Van Dyke, an expert on the region, is skeptical about this report.
This man who is once a commando, who is very impetuous, who is a driving force behind much of that's gone on in Pakistan for the last 10 years, will go quietly into the sunset is hard to imagine.
Until very recently, a Cold War-style confrontation between Washington and Moscow was hard to imagine, but here it is. Humanitarian relief supplies delivered by the U.S. military continue to arrive in Georgia today, even as Russian forces continue their operations.
Their aim is to destroy Georgian democracy and take away freedom of Georgian people.
Irakli Alassania is Georgia's ambassador to the UN. President Saakashvili claims the Russians control a third of his country. The Bush administration says Russia won't be allowed to get away with this. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Secretary of Defense Gates says Russia is sending a signal to Georgia not to get too close to the West.
The Russians saw an opportunity and they seized it.
And Gates says the future of relations with Moscow depends on what happens next.
There need to be some consequences for the actions that Russia has taken against a sovereign state.
He says so far the Bush administration has acted with restraint.
I don't see any prospect for the use of military force by the United States in this situation.
Asked whether he can trust Russian leaders. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
President Bush got an hours-long briefing at the CIA today. He goes to his Texas ranch tomorrow. Now this.
Hi, I'm the owner of several Italian restaurants, and all my employees are so happy because I now make Aflac available to them. With Aflac, my benefits package is like a full course meal, and there is no direct cost to me. That is like music to my ears.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
How to turn $35 into $180 without a magic wand. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Get an Energy Star qualified programmable thermostat starting at about $35. Step 2. Install your new thermostat and save about 20% on your energy bills, or on average, $180 a year. Step 3. Say abracadabra.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
A joint announcement today from Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Clinton's name will be placed in nomination at the Democratic Convention. Vaughn Burvers is senior political editor at CBSNews.com.
Well, I think this is very good for Democrats in the sense that they'll have the kind of catharsis that Senator Clinton has sort of talked about in the recent weeks. This will be a chance for her supporters to be heard and for the party to maybe begin coming together a little bit.
Obama says honoring Senator Clinton's historic campaign will help bring the party together. The government says consumer prices jumped 0.8% in July, while 450,000 workers filed claims for unemployment benefits last week. David Weiss is chief economist at Standard & Poor's.
All these numbers suggest that we're in trouble. The unemployment claims numbers confirm what we felt, which is that we're in a recession. The consumer price index numbers show that inflation remains too high.
It's running at the highest level in 17 years. But here are some better numbers. The price of oil fell to $115 a barrel today, and stocks rose, the Dow up 82 points. A sweeping consumer safety measure is now law, CBS News correspondent Mark Nola reports.
Without any fanfare or ceremony, President Bush signed the bill, which the White House says will help ensure that products Americans find on their store shelves are safe. Spokesman Tony Fratto says that's become an increasingly difficult and complex job because more imports from more nations are now sold in the U.S. The bill, for example, significantly reduces the amount of lead allowed in toys.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, we're Shadaisy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3. Those who start wars never fight them. Who fight wars? I never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 30 minutes, Colonel Sam Gardner returns. He's retired from the U.S. Air Force, and he monitors American military movements around the globe. We'll talk about the conflict in Georgia and whether the U.S. will be drawn in there. And we'll also talk about the latest related to the U.S. and Iran. Sam Gardner, about a half hour away.
It's time to go home, to take our boys away now, to take our girls away now, to take our boys away now, to take our girls.
Ordinarily, Scott Dick joins us at this time, our official contributor on military and veterans matters. He's on maneuvers today and won't be with us, but Scott has agreed to sit in for your humble host when I take a day off next Wednesday, so you get 3 hours of Major Dick. And And I've sometimes made reference to Mark Crispin Miller, who is a professor of media at New York University and an author of several books about stolen elections. He sometimes comes on our program, but I get emails from him almost all day long. And one came in earlier today referencing an article written by Dan Hamburg and Louis Seiler. And it reminded me that I haven't talked to Dan Hamburg in ages. And I looked at the article, and after I talked to Dan, realized that it was months old. And still, it was a great reminder to talk to Dan, who served as the Democrat from the 1st District, the northwest corner of the state, which, of course, includes Eureka and Humboldt County. Our great listeners there remember Dan Hamburg for his term in Congress. And he also ran for governor as the Green Party candidate a few years back. Dan, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Yes, yeah, nice to talk with you again, Peter.
It's been too long.
I'm flattered that Mark Crispin Miller forwarded that article to you, which is actually was published in the Chronicle. It's been about 6 months ago.
Right.
Then it hit the internet and went viral.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty amazing, which showed that the subject matter of the article, which was the article is entitled Rule by Fear or Rule by Law, and talks about the degree to which the Bush administration has been able to consolidate power within the executive branch, really almost entirely to the exclusion of congressional authority and traditional checks and balances. And it struck a chord. I think a lot of people have been watching what's been going on, not only legislatively, but by executive order over the past 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and realized that this administration has amassed more power in the executive, certainly than any president in my lifetime.
Well, and a number of books that have been published recently, including The Dark Side by Jane Mayer, really identify who the driver of this is. And it's a guy named David Addington, who replaced Lewis Scooter Libby as Dick Cheney's chief of staff. But before that, he was counsel to the vice president. Before that, he worked for Cheney over at the Defense Department back in the 80s and early 90s. And he is the real driver of the torture policy, of the presidential power grabs. He has personally written many of the signing statements that Bush has used to say, yes, I've signed this into law, but I basically reserve the right to follow the law when I want to and ignore it when I don't want to. And while many people see Karl Rove as the political architect, and certainly he ranks up there with the dark side team, David Addington is really a guy who I think we will see 10 or 15 years from now as the man who was putting his fingerprints all over the most egregious power grabs of this administration.
Well, Addington's certainly a big figure. You know, don't forget the Bay Area's own John Yoo, the law professor at UC Berkeley, who contributed some of the legalistic ballast for these arguments. And, of course, you can't forget Darth Cheney himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, who is the kind of the mastermind of this power grab. And what's really interesting to me as a, you know, as somewhat of a student of history is when you go back and look at these plans to exert executive authority over the entire U.S. government, you can easily trace them all the way back to the Ford administration, when Dick Cheney was serving as Gerald Ford's chief of staff, and when Donald Rumsfeld left the A.G. Searle Corporation, and where he was CEO and became, at that time, the youngest Secretary of Defense in the history of the country. And it was Cheney and Rumsfeld who were smarting from the Church Committee hearings of the mid-70s, which looked at things like COINTELPRO and just the overweening power of the CIA and the Watergate Commission. Those two things that they took as being assaults on the power of the presidency, on the power of the executive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when those two men began to design these policies under which the executive could assume dominant authority over the government. And there's a professor, and a professor emeritus at UC Berkeley named Peter Dale Scott,
mm-hmm.
who is, maybe you'll have him on someday. He is probably the national authority on COG, which is COG. It stands for Continuity of Government. that's kind of a misnomer, because what it really is complete change of government from our constitutional system of checks and balances to a system under which the executive basically rules by fiat. And, of course, when the Project for a New American Century in 2000 published their document, which called for a much more muscular United States foreign policy backed up by a much more muscular military approach, we all remember that they said that these policies would be put into effect much more readily if there were a new Pearl Harbor, which would help to mobilize the citizenry behind this kind of policy. And then presto, on 9/11/01, we got our new Pearl Harbor. George Bush declared a national state of emergency. He declared it was the beginnings of the war on terror, under which every square inch of the planet Earth becomes a war zone. And he began taking on these extraordinary powers, which he has renewed year after year after year up to the present day.
Dan Hamburg with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join our conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And Dan, one of the concerns I have is that there are constitutionalists who are both conservative and liberal, both Republican and Democrat, who have articulated 10 or 12 points, a pledge to return to constitutional rule, including an end to torture, an end to wiretapping, an end to the Patriot Act's what they call national security letters, the instant warrants that the FBI itself has admitted it has widely abused, and a number of other issues that most of us are aware of and would support. And to date, only Dennis Kucinich of the Democrats and Ron Paul of the Republicans have agreed to this agenda of constitutionalism. And so it's an open question at this point about Barack Obama and whether he would repudiate the extensions of power that have been achieved under the Bush administration, the use of signing statements. He has said that he wants to close Gitmo, and I'd take him at his word that despite his bad vote on FISA, that he doesn't particularly support warrantless wiretapping of American citizens. So as we look at this, how do you size up Obama on these issues, and what do you think progressives need to do, starting with the convention in Denver, to remind him of our values in this respect?
Well, I think one thing that those of us, I consider myself to be kind of on the left wing of the political spectrum, but, you mentioned Ron Paul. I think another person that should be mentioned in that same discussion is Bob Barr.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, was the organizer of the impeachment against Bill Clinton, which was, such a totally misconceived act. But here you have Bob Barr, a former congressman from Georgia, testifying before Conyers Committee it was sort of a quasi-impeachment panel, which mm-hmm. included people like Elizabeth Holtzman and Bruce Fein, a Republican constitutional scholar. So what we're seeing is the well-informed people of the right, the more libertarian right, and the progressives similarly alarmed by these, this all-out assault on the Constitution that the neocons have brought about. Now, where did Barack Obama come from? And who is Barack Obama? I mean, I know that, McCain is trying to make this all appear very sinister, who is this guy, and he's inexperienced. What concerns me about Barack Obama isn't, that he's 47 years old and hasn't sat in the stodgy old Senate for the last 20 years or hasn't been corrupted by government. Those are the things I like about him. But what I fear about him is how little we know about what he really believes. And simply, flouting the slogan, change we can believe in, doesn't really get us there. And I think for people to be concerned about who Barack Obama is, who are the people he surrounds himself with, who are his major funders, those are all very, very legitimate questions. And, of course, I was not a Hillary Clinton supporter either. It's not like, you know, I would have rather had Senator Clinton as the Democratic nominee. But the questions you're raising, you know, you look at what's happening right now with the conflict between Georgia and Russia. And, of course, we all heard McCain's very bellicose comments. But the comments that came from Barack Obama, you know, I found to be similarly uninspired.
Well, he doesn't even know how to pronounce Abkhazia, and you know, that's not so hard to master. Dan, we got to take a break, and we'll return. And I want to talk more about Obama, and in particular, the Georgia situation and his call for more troops in Afghanistan. That has me concerned. Dan Hamburg, former congressman from the North Coast, is our guest, and you can join us toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955. Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Nothing major to tell you about right now. A couple of things. Marina northbound 1 before 12th Street. Watch out for a bunch of steel pipes scattered all over the roadway. Hollister Fairview Road at Hillcrest Road. A large amount of trash and glass apparently scattered in the lanes. For Highway 17 going through the Santa Cruz Mountains, we had reports of a crash south 17 at the summit. Two cars off to the shoulder. That's been cleared out of the way, but there will be some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Of course, Highway 68, we have no stalls or accidents and some stop-and-go traffic southbound. on 101, leaving South San Jose as you head down towards Morgan Hill. This report is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner joins me about 10 minutes away. He's been following American military deployments around the world. He'll update us on the Russia-Georgia conflict and our intentions toward Iran, too. We continue now with Dan Hamburg, former congressman on the North Coast, who joins us here this afternoon. And, Dan, I want to get your take on, again, Obama in particular, but McCain, if you like, and their reaction to Georgia's attack into South Ossetia that produced this response from Russia and the U.S. staunchly taking Georgia's side. And I've been scratching my head trying to remember what treaty we have with Georgia. Are you familiar with any treaties that we have with that nation?
Well, you know, one of the really interesting aspects of this is that John McCain has as one of his principal foreign policy advisors a lobbyist who is working closely with the government of Georgia.
Randy Schuneman.
And, you know, it seems that there may well have been some commitments made. It reminds me of April Glaspie and her cryptic message of Saddam Hussein, you know, saying that the United States would basically turn a blind eye to an invasion of Kuwait and then, you know, trapping Saddam in Kuwait and then, you know, beating the hell out of him. I think there may have been a wink and a nod to the president of Georgia and, you know, telling him that, you know, well, we're gonna get you into NATO pretty soon. And not only that, but, you know, if you go after South Ossetia and the other province, which I'm not going to try to pronounce either.
Abkhazia.
good for you. That, you know, we'll stand with you. And indeed, you're hearing people like Richard Holbrooke, who was on McNeil Lair the other night.
I saw that, yeah.
And, you know, you're seeing these sort of lions of American foreign policy who seem to be really neither Democrat nor Republican. They sort of float between the two and the Council on Foreign Relations and all these other kind of groups that are very shadowy to most Americans. But but these are the people who kind of determine the foreign policy of the United States. And, you know, getting back to Obama for a second, three people that I see associated with Obama in his inner foreign policy circle are Madeleine Albright, you know, who is notorious for her defense of the decade of sanctions against Iraq, the whole decade of the 90s.
Well, and also after she left office, she was competing with Jim Baker and sometimes teaming up with him to get these lucrative contracts representing repressive regimes like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia.
And then Richard Holbrooke and Zbigniew Brzezinski. I mean, these are all people that I understand to be very close to Obama. And this morning I was reading an article on one of my favorite websites, which is Information Clearinghouse. It's written by a guy named Mike Whitney, who often contributes. And he was characterizing these three people. He was calling them Obama's foreign policy A-team. And I'm just gonna read you a couple sentences he wrote. These are cold-blooded Machiavellian imperialists who know how to work the media and the diplomatic channels to conceal their genocidal operations behind a smokescreen of humanitarian mumbo-jumbo. They know what they are doing, and they are good at it. They are not fools. They have aligned themselves with the Obama camp and are preparing for the next big outbreak of global troublemaking. This should serve as a sobering wake-up call for voters who still think Obama represents change we can believe in.
Well, I think it's very important to think about these things. And just 1 minute remaining, Dan, you and I talked earlier today, and we share a concern that Obama has talked about putting more troops into Afghanistan without stating a mission, without really defining the need. And I don't want to switch from one failed police action in Iraq to another one in Afghanistan.
Well, what I'm afraid is that Obama offers voters a choice of wars and not a choice against war. He just wants to shift the battleground. And, you know, that very much goes along with what Brzezinski's theory is, which goes back to his book, The Grand Chessboard, in which he talks about the primary importance of Eurasia, and particularly all those stands in there, you know, all those Central Asian former parts of the Soviet Union, because that's where the natural gas is, that's where the oil is, that's where the pipelines need to come from. And, and indeed they do. I mean, we know the pipeline that goes through Georgia is an important part of this struggle that's going on currently.
Yeah, Dan, I'm out of time. Great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today, and keep in touch.
Good to talk with you, Peter, and have a good time with Colonel Gardner. He's I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Dan Hamburg, former congressman, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The invasion that changed everything. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The president said it yesterday.
Russia's ongoing action raises serious questions about its intentions in Georgia and the region.
It's an important issue. Does a big nation have the right to invade a small nation whenever it wants to without asking permission? 6 years ago, our answer to that was clear.
When it comes to our security, if we need to act, we will act. And we really don't need United Nations approval to do so.
But now, it's different.
We insist that the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Georgia be respected.
6 years ago, it was our job to secure the oil installations and the Green Zone, but not to police Baghdad, which was soon overrun by looters and freelance killers. But in Georgia?
All forces, including Russian forces, have an obligation to protect innocent civilians from attack.
In Iraq, we did the right thing in taking over a country to remove weapons that it turned out weren't even there, and we remain in Iraq to this day with no timetable for withdrawal. But in Georgia?
Russia has brutally pushed this military operation well beyond the bounds of anything that might have related to South Ossetia.
Which means that what the Russians have done is clearly disproportionate. And so it is our job now to make the rules clear when it comes to larger countries invading smaller countries that they consider to be a threat.
This is not 1968 and the invasion of Czechoslovakia, where Russia can threaten its neighbors, occupy a capital, overthrow a government, and get away with it. Things have changed.
They certainly have. Now this.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W.
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust.
W.
Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Peter B.'s America, just a little to the left of Sean Hannity's America. Coming up next hour, Max Bernstein will kick off the free speed zone. He supports ABB for Obama's VP pick, anybody but Bi. In a moment, Colonel Sam Gardner returns to our show. Midnight Oil playing us into this segment, My Country, Right or Wrong? And who's right about the conflict between Georgia and Russia, and what side should the U.S. be on? Colonel Sam Gardner is retired from the United States Air Force, and we've talked to him many times over the years, primarily about military movements toward Iran and speculation about a U.S. military attack on Iran. He's also been focusing recently on the situation in Georgia, and he joins us again today. Sam, how are you? Sam, do we have you? Testing 1, 2, 3. Nick, we lost him, so can you try him back? And we will get him on the phone here just as quickly as we can. And Sam Gardner occasionally sends me emails with his thoughts. He has been an instructor at some of the military war colleges. And he also has participated in some war games, trying to plan out scenarios for confronting Iran. And so he knows quite a bit. He always hastens to add that the information that he purveys is from open sources. He does a lot of work looking at Al Jazeera and at other websites, other sources of information from various parts of the world. And so much of what he gathers is material that the American media just has not bothered to source out and to investigate. Sam Gardner, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Peter B. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. It's always great to talk with you.
Good.
I was just padding a little bit because we lost your connection for a moment, and telling people that you do offer information and commentary on American military maneuvers and various assets around the world, and that you get all this from public sources, that you're not dealing in any confidential or secret information from our intelligence or others, and that despite that, you're able to come up with a great deal of information that, for one reason or another, never makes it into the American media.
Yeah, it's a shame that there is the important stuff gets put out by sexual affairs and things like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these are very critical issues, And many people are still learning how to pronounce different towns like Tbilisi and learning where Abkhazia is and north and south Ossetia. Our politicians are learning, too. I heard Obama struggle with Abkhazia, and John McCain is always reading from a script when he makes his comments on this conflict.
Yes.
So, Sam, first of all, can you just answer one simple question for me? Do we have any kind of a treaty or other bilateral accord with the nation of Georgia that has led the Bush administration to send, and I'm holding up my quote fingers here, humanitarian military aid to Georgia?
Well, it's the president has promised. It goes back to his visit and lots of public statements by the administration that would, in fact, have led the Georgians to believe that not only did we support them, but we supported them with a capital S, and that may mean defend them, although there is no treaty to that effect. They want to be in NATO, but they're not.
Okay, so there's no letter, there's no email. This is based on Bush having a street named after him in Tbilisi and his embrace of Saakashvili.
Right. And maybe to add to that, a notion about how the United States defines its security. I mean, he didn't just wake up one morning and say this. There has been this notion that we continue to expand NATO closer and closer to Russian borders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a major element of what this is all about. The Russians have said, oh gosh, they have been very public for about 3 years. They say in these kinds of words, you do not understand. We will not tolerate this. And that message has gone unheard. But I think they've now made it relatively loud and clear.
So what do you see as the strategic objective of the Bush administration in siding with Georgia? And I've picked up information in the last week from open sources like everybody else, and I know that Russia has a 2 million member standing army, and Georgia has 34,000.
You
just look at that asymmetric picture there, and you wonder why Georgia, on 8808, as the world was distracted by the Olympics, would attempt to launch an assault into Russian-controlled South Ossetia.
Yeah, that's really bizarre. And, you know, what's so interesting is, and the politicians are telling us the Russians invaded Georgia, forgetting that the action that started the fighting, despite the fact that there were tensions, was the movement of the Georgian forces.
Mm-hmm.
And it was bizarre. I mean, it was the correlation of forces, as a military guy would say, was terrible. The only thing that the president of Georgia could have assumed was, A, either the Russians wouldn't respond. Probably not a good assumption, because you could have seen them making preparations. Or B, the United States would jump in with combat force and protect him. Only with those, or he's really dumb, but one of those three caused the Georgians to do something that was strategically very unsound.
Now, Sam, Saakashvili has to know, because he committed 2,000 of Georgia's armed forces to our phony coalition in Iraq, and they were flown back in this emergency last weekend, I believe, by the U.S.
By the U.S. Air Force, yes.
Yeah. So he has to have intimate knowledge of how overextended our military is at this point and how we are bogged down in Iraq. And so where do we find forces to send to Georgia right now, presuming that we want to go face to face with Russia?
Well, it could have been there. It would not have been U.S. ground forces. So we are not, our Air Force forces and naval air is not extended in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's only ground forces.
Mm-hmm.
We could have deployed. And we could have, within hours, had B-2s and B-1s dropping bombs on the Russians. I mean, that was militarily, it was doable. And, you know, my guess is that he might have assumed we would do that. And I think that given the limited road structure in South Ossetia, that it would have been possible for bombing to halt that Russian advance. But it would have been a stupid act on our part, too. But, I mean, it was possible, Peter. I think that's the message.
Yeah, I take your point. Sam Gardner's with us, retired Air Force colonel on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you have a question or comment, 888-5-PETER-B. So now we have inserted what we're calling a humanitarian military force, and they announced they're sending rice, and it's not in bags. I'm just curious, how far can the U.S. go in supporting this little nation of Georgia without ending up in a protracted military conflict with Russia?
Well, I think that much of the humanitarian stuff is for PR. I mean, we're not going to provide enough humanitarian support by flying in two or three aircraft a day to do that. I mean, this is in ways saving face of the administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that anybody administration is inclined to take on the Russians militarily. I think this is now that stakes have been made just to attempt to save face.
But Cheney has made some comments that kind of echoed Poppy Bush after Kuwait was invaded by Iraq.
Essentially
saying this cannot stand. And Secretary Rice, in the White House announcement that Bush made yesterday, made similar remarks where she said, you know, this isn't Czechoslovakia in 68. May be so, but if, you know, what is it? And exactly what is the U.S. going to do to push Russia out of Georgia?
Well, there are three parts to the question. One of them is, it certainly is not Czechoslovakia or even Hungary in 56. Because we got to remind ourselves that the South Ossetians are very supportive of the Russians. You know, they have actually voted to become part of the Russian Federation. I mean, this is not a people who have been overtaken, you know, they're Georgians by heart, and all of a sudden the Russians are there. The Russians had peacekeepers there. There were security forces who were watching Russian interests. So this was really a Russian area of influence. That's sort of the first point. Let me do the second point on taking on the Russians. And this is one of those things that you mentioned in the beginning that I get out of reading the newspapers, but I don't know anything from the inside. But on Friday of last week, in the press conference given by the Deputy National Security Advisor from Beijing, he said, "We have noted that there are two SS-21 missile launchers that have entered Ossetia." Now, that just sort of flopped there. Nobody mentioned it. But let me tell you what the significance of that. The SS-21 is a medium-range ballistic missile that is both conventional and nuclear. On that attack, they needed no more conventional firepower. After the first Gulf War, the Russians came to a conclusion that they couldn't put up or stand if the Americans were to use precision conventional weapons against them. So they rewrote their doctrine that said, if you use precision conventional weapons against Russian troops, we will respond with tactical nuclear weapons. I think there was, in the movement of the SS-21s into South Ossetia, a very strong message for the United States, and maybe one that the White House had heard. I mean, the Russians are very serious about this, and so the things that you think Trump American forces, we have a way to counter.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break and return with Sam Gardner, retired U.S. Air Force colonel. Lines open if you have a comment or a question. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And you can always email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17. Before the summit, a broken-down truck blocks the right-hand lane. Look for heavy traffic as you approach the scene. A problem in Hollister still being cleared up. Fairview Road at Hillcrest Road. A car lost a load of trash and glass in the lanes. It looks like CHP is on the scene in the process of getting that cleaned up. Cannon Road at 101. We have a big rig and a car involved in a crash that is blocking the roadway. CHP and tow trucks on the way, but good news, nobody hurt in that crash. Highway 68 currently checks in stall accident-free, and 101 as you make your way through Salinas. So far, so good. No problems. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know what happens to flood-damaged cars when they're pulled from the water? Many are dried out, cleaned up, and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in Soquel under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes in front of the hour. We're brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You love organic fruits and vegetables, so try organic wine. With fewer sulfates, you'll get fewer headaches. Log on to ecowine.com for more information. We're talking with Colonel Sam Gardner here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Right now we're talking about the conflict between Russia and Georgia and America's role there. And, Sam, let me just blurt this out because there's a lot of speculation out there. Karl Rove was in Georgia when he was supposed to, well, when he was dodging an appearance before Congressman Conyers Judiciary Committee. Randy Schuneman, an advisor to John McCain, is on leave from his firm that continues to have a lobbying contract for the Saakashvili regime government in Georgia. And so there is speculation that this is a false flag operation, that the United States somehow provoked this or caused it to occur, either to benefit McCain for campaign purposes or as part of a larger stratagem that we can't see right now.
I think I would put it up to incompetence, Peter. I would say, you know, there was a wonderful article in the New York Times, you know, either yesterday or the day before, about the run-up to the war. We knew the situation was getting tense, and apparently there was some contact between the administration and the president of Georgia. in which there were, they said, here are the words that they used. They warned and they advised. And what's happened to us is the United States foreign policy for the next 5 years has been dictated by this, I think, presumably corrupt president of Georgia, by what he did. You don't advise him and you don't warn him. You tell him flat out, if you provoke the Russians, we will cut off aid and you will never get into NATO. So I put it in the category of not a conscious false flag operation, but this is, you know, high in confidence.
Mm-hmm.
This should never have happened.
All right, so then what is the latest related to Iran? There were some war games that concluded last week, and I've seen dispatches that indicate that a third carrier group is steaming toward the Persian Gulf. Have we taken a military option toward Iran off the table, and has Israel?
Well, let me address that. It's been called the Armada online. Most of that is false information.
Okay.
As far as anything I can tell, and people who watch the movement of ships by, you know, what's in the public, say the same thing. We have one carrier in the Gulf now, and when it's time to be relieved comes up, it will be relieved. But there is no major armada steaming towards the Gulf.
Okay.
The Israel question is a fascinating one because in ways it changed this week. In number of Israeli papers were articles which said Israel has been told by the United States that they can't buy certain equipment. And because that, the leadership of Israel has decided that they, for now, can't launch a preemptive strike against Iran. Now, you see, I don't know what we didn't buy, sell them, but obviously the leadership is looking for a way out of this. They don't want to be pushed where they promised to do something. So by blaming the United States, they can this notion of Israel going by itself seems to be off the table. Specifically, the defense minister, Barak, said we have to count on diplomacy for a while. So I think the situation with respect to Israel, with respect to the United States moving towards a conventional strike, I'm fairly comfortable today. The thing, and you and I have talked about this before, Peter.
Yeah, we have.
These covert operations, however, could cause something to go bad very quickly that are going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm comforted by the information you're offering. And is Israel's change in posture related to the problems of Prime Minister Olmert, who has now agreed not to run for re-election?
In fact, they may have been made possible by it. You know, I think one of the reasons he was hardlined was to protect his position. Barak, the defense minister, is one of those in line.
That's Ehud Barak, not Obama.
That's right. I guess supposed in line to be prime minister. Anyway, so that could be it. He could have gotten the message from the United States. You know, when you and I first started talking about this, there were an awful lot of people in Washington who believed that military operations were a good idea. That has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe only the White House now is the only place where anybody wakes up in the morning and says, how can we go strike Iran? Everybody else has concluded, as you and I had, much before they did, right?
Yeah, we had. Sam, about 2 minutes remaining. Let's turn to Pakistan now, where Musharraf, threatened with impeachment, apparently is going to resign within 72 hours. That's a report from the New York Times today. First of all, is that credible? And secondly, who would take his place? Do we have somebody at Langley ready to fly in?
No, you know, in fact, democracy may have to work its way to do it, you know, by itself rather than a coup.
Oh, my God.
Imagine that.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I think that, but that's a very serious possibility for instability in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you've noticed, Peter, but the Kashmir thing is heating up again.
Right.
You know, that piece of land disputed between India and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
The world is suffering.
Yeah. And the Musharraf thing has so many factors, Sam. We recently launched another assault, at least it's believed that the U.S. is responsible for it, into the Waziristan region there of Pakistan. Nine suspected insurgents were killed, but we're not claiming responsibility so far. And we know that particularly the hardliners in the Pakistani military are very sensitive to being big-footed by the United States. Now, that doesn't excuse their failure to rein in the Taliban and deal with Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. At the same time, we've got to play this very carefully, and Bush and Cheney don't seem to do it with much tact or, skill.
No, you're exactly right. And, you know, they are also upset by the covert operations the United States is sponsoring out of Pakistan into Iran. They've let that be known, and they've told the Iranians that they don't support it. So there are multiple areas in which the tension with Pakistan is being compounded.
Yeah. Sam Gardner, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I haven't been getting your emails, so if you can put me back on your distribution list, I'd like to catch up with you as often as I can.
Okay, Peter. Good to talk to you.
Same here. That's Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the United States Air Force. Coming up next, Max and the Marginalized will join us. Max Bernstein says no to Evan Bayh as Obama's VP. I'm with you, Max.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush went to CIA headquarters today for an extensive briefing on the situation in Georgia. Afterward, he repeated his demand that the Russians get out.
My call, of course, is for the territorial integrity of Georgia to be respected and for the ceasefire agreement to be honored.
Russia says its work is done in Georgia, but that doesn't mean its troops are about to leave. CBS News reporter Beth Noble has the latest from Moscow.
Russia's foreign minister says the Georgians can forget about getting their two separatist regions back. Sergei Lavrov says that following the short Russian-Georgian war, it's impossible to convince those two rebel regions, Abkhazia and South Ossetia, that they can be part of the Georgian state. The minister's comments seem to open up the door to Russia absorbing those two border regions of Georgia, something the Georgian president says he'll never allow. Beth Noble, CBS News, Moscow.
CBS News has been told that Pakistan's president, Pervez Musharraf, will leave office within days in exchange for guarantees that he won't be impeached or charged with treason. If true, Meera Kamdar at the Asia Society says this is bad news for the United States.
We're losing our guy in Pakistan, the person who has been our greatest asset there over the last few years in terms of coordinating joint efforts between the United States and Pakistan to fight the war on terror, deal with the Taliban.
Critics say even his efforts have left a lot to be desired. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato says researchers have identified a genetic abnormality that increases the risk of colorectal cancer.
The importance of this possible breakthrough, it could lead to specialized screening tests to find high-risk individuals. Northwestern researcher Dr. Boris Pasch says if the cancer is found early, the chance of cure exceeds 95%. If it spreads
to the liver, the lung, or elsewhere in the body, the chances of cure are very small.
This discovery is being reported in Science.
Another study finds that women aged 15 to 49 who smoke more than double their risk of stroke. Dr. John Cole at the University of Maryland Medical School says women who smoke the most have the highest risk.
It does add credence that cutting back, you know, definitively does offer some benefit. However, quitting would definitively be the best thing for you.
Today's game in Chicago between the White Sox and the Kansas City Royals was one for the record books.
And deep in the right field, that ball is going, going, gone!
Laron Jackson of the Comcast Sports Network got repetitious in the sixth inning as the Sox hit four consecutive home runs. They won the game 9-2. Also, Chicago slugger Carlos Quentin was hit by a pitch for the sixth game in a row. It's believed to be the first time that's happened since 1920. On Wall Street, stocks were higher. The Dow Industrial's up 82 points to 11,615 as the price of oil fell to $115 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Imagine what your life would be like if over half your credit card debt was gone. You don't have to imagine life without credit card debt. You can call Financial Freedom of America for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their friendly staff will show you how they can wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card bills. Not available in all states. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-768-9617. 800-768-9617. Don't wait another minute. Call 800-768-9617.
Great moments in summer games history from Tiger Balm.
In 1996, the U.S. women's gymnastics team delighted the home crowd with athletic feats that turned up gold. You, on the other hand, can barely get out of bed after managing to grind through five pull-ups at the gym. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. A 100-year pain relief formula trusted by people around the world. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
A Continental Airlines flight attendant walked out of a Houston courtroom today empty-handed. Sharon Brown sued Victoria Osteen, wife of megachurch pastor Joel Osteen, for hundreds of thousands of dollars, claiming Osteen attacked her on a 2005 flight from Houston to Vail. The jury, as KTRH Radio's Alan Skye reports, didn't buy it.
The jury foreman says he found no proof that any assault occurred.
We considered that what took place there might reach the level of being a minor incident.
Osteen maintains that the fight never took place.
People that know me know that's not true. And, you know, when you're trying to win a case, you say a lot of things.
But Sharon Brown's lawyer, Reginald McCamey, says the public had a right to learn what happened.
She wanted to get her side of the story out, and we've done that.
Brown plans to continue working for Continental. Alan Skaya for CBS News, Houston.
It's the largest fine ever imposed on an airline. The FAA says American will pay $7.1 million for knowingly flying planes that needed safety maintenance. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, I'm the owner of several Italian restaurants, and all my employees are so happy because I now make Aflac available to them. With Aflac, my benefits package is like a full course meal, and there is no direct cost to me. That is like music to my ears.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
How to turn $35 into $180 without a magic wand. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. Get an Energy Star qualified programmable thermostat starting at about $35. Step 2. Install your new thermostat and save about 20% on your energy bills, or on average, $180 a year. Step 3. Say abracadabra.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And Barack's on the beach over there in Kailua, Hawaii. Barack. Hello, Barack. Can you hear me? Please, no Hoosiers on the ticket. Evan Bayh's barely a Democrat. He's from the Lieberman-Feinstein wing of the party. Anybody but Bayh! Can you hear me, Barack?
Indiana loves me.
Indiana may want birch, birch pie. Sorry, Bruce Bye, or what was it? Bye. Evan Bye, and his father was named Bye, too. Had a first name that began with B. Maybe it was Bruce. And joining me is the leader of a movement that's two or three days old to stop Barack Obama from naming Evan Bayh as his vice presidential pick. He is the leader of Max and the Marginalized. Max Bernstein joins us here in just a second. This is one of their tunes, you know, they produce one a week. Bernstein returns to our program today, and every week he and his buddies produce a new song, and you can find them at HuffingtonPost.com and at MySpace.com. Max, how are you doing today?
Doing okay. How are you, Peter?
Well, I know you're recovering from a road trip, and you had some sort of a moment in Austin, Texas the other night. Tell us about this.
Well, we had just finished up our show in Austin, Texas. It was about 12:30, and I got a couple of emails in my phone. Where I, due to wonderful technology, I can receive emails from some people who had some information that said that it was looking very, very, very likely that the Obama campaign was going to pick Evan Bayh for the ticket, but that they might be checking the weather for a couple of days to see how such a thing would float.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we have to do something about this right now. And I grabbed my computer and I made this. This Facebook page, which I got a little carried away with the number, which was 100,000 strong against Evan Bayh for VP.
Right.
And had I made it 10,000 strong, I'd look like a real genius tomorrow when we hit that. But
well, and you've gotten some coverage, and they picked up on a message that you put up yourself. You said, you know, we got 1,000, 99,000 to go. New York Times has an inch or two about it at the bottom of their campaign coverage today, and they mentioned that you got 99,000 to go. And
we've got 2,600 members now, I believe. So we're now at about 97,000 to go.
Well, and I'm just scrolling through here. The story in the Washington Post today by Jonathan Wiseman, published on Thursday, and it mentions the 100,000 target, but it doesn't mention your progress to date. So they were a little nicer to you. It's good that Dana Milbank didn't write about it.
Oh, that's always good when Dana Milbank doesn't write about anything.
I'm with you. Now, can you list the top 25 reasons why Evan Bayh shouldn't be on the Democratic presidential ticket this year?
Well, I don't know if I can do the top 25, but I can do the top three.
Go.
I've already gone high with the numbers this week. So the three are, well, for one, you know, this is two of them. There's two very central tenets to Obama's candidacy and to why I and many others support him. One of them is the judgment about the war. And the second one is a break from Washington politics as we know it and as it is at its worst.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Bayh was not just wrong about the war. He was terribly wrong about the war. He was one of, you know, the only Democratic senators who helped roll out the war, you know, as part of this Committee for the Liberation of Iraq. It was him and Zell Miller and Joe Lieberman. He helped corral other Democrats into this decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it said that he's sad that this war is going to sour Americans on war with Iran, which he at least fairly recently thought was a much finer idea.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just, you know, there's many people who voted wrong on the war, and a lot of them have been very apologetic about it, but he wasn't just wrong about it. He helped really push it and helped push aside other alternatives that were on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big one. And then, you know, this is, talk about Washington as usual. This guy is, you know, the son of a Senator.
Birch Bayh. That was
Birch Bayh.
I couldn't summon the first name there.
His name, Evan Bayh's real name is actually, it's Birch Evans Bayh. Evans is his middle name.
Oh.
And, you know, this is a person who has never had a job that wasn't in politics. This is Washington as usual at its, you know, at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's reason number two. Reason number three is he really fell hook, line, and sinker for the whole partial birth abortion thing, which is, you know, a manufactured controversy invented by a right-to-life group.
Well, and Max, let me just add a few here, and we won't get all the way to 25, but we could. In his alignment with Lieberman and also Feinstein, the most conservative senators in the Democratic Party, he has been a supporter of all the wrong things, of Bush tax cuts, of, you know, spying on Americans, the FISA amendments that were rammed through and that have unraveled our Fourth Amendment rights.
Yep, and you know how I love FISA.
Yeah. And the other part of it is, you know, we go to the history here. He is a DLC Democrat. That's the Democratic Leadership Council, which is the corporate wing of the Democratic Party. And I put it this way, Max, that as a progressive anti-war person, and by the way, I'm nominally not a Democrat. I'm a declined to state voter here in California. I believe that you've got to build a coalition. And I'm willing to coalesce with the DLC and conservative Democrats on the issues where we unite in opposition to the Republicans and the neocons. But I find that Evan Bayh is openly hostile to the anti-war elements in the Democratic Party and that he refuses to coalesce with us. And therefore, I think it would send a very strong negative message from Obama that after, you know, dissing us on the death penalty, the Supreme Court decision, the gun control decision by the Supreme Court, and most importantly, his about-face on FISA, and now a crack in the position on offshore drilling, we really cannot afford to have another divisive conservative element injected into this presidential race, because I'm talking to a lot of people, not just the give me Hillary or give me death folks, but a lot of people who are souring on Obama and may stay home or may vote unenthusiastically. But we know the challenges that are faced here. And I believe that Obama, you know, really has to listen. He did listen on FISA. He didn't accept the criticism, but at least he did accept the posts that were made at mybo.com. So when we put all this together, my fear is that Obama, who is trying to appeal to a very broad portion of the electorate, is going to send a message to the progressive base that will not be well received.
I agree with you completely, except on one thing, is that you're talking about this being a broad portion of the electorate, and I can't, anywhere I look, I can't find this broad portion of the electorate who thinks that Evan Bayh is anything to write home about.
Well, no, it's only that he would appeal to conservative heartland voters who are wobbly on abortion, who, you know, are pro-military, even if they're not in favor of the war in Iraq, and who basically, you know, are uncomfortable because they think that even though he really isn't, that Obama is too liberal.
You know, I don't think that that people that you just existed, I think that those people are something of a figment of consultants' imaginations. And, mm-hmm. Yes, there's a few of them out there. But there's this notion that I think people in Washington have that if you go six states to the left over, there's this huge number of people who want somebody who voted for the war to be president but are still Democrats and so on and so forth. And it's a really, really tiny number of people. And one of the reasons I really believe that is that if there was a whole bunch of people who wanted somebody like that to be vice president, there would have been a little bit of pushback against our group, which is about to hit 3,000 people. And there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody who's shown any enthusiasm for any kind of centrist candidate like this, except when they're talking about, well, I don't like him, but we have to play to this other group. But But I haven't seen any member of this group actually stand up.
Well, and what you're saying is echoed by George Lakoff, who says that there really isn't such thing as a centrist. That, you know, people have left views on some issues, right views on others. But the animal that pollsters want to call a centrist really doesn't exist. And so I think you're on solid ground there, Max. Now, let's talk a little bit here before our break about how people can sign up to join your effort to stop Obama from naming Evan Bayh as his vice president. Where should they go?
Well, if you go to Facebook.com, just go into the search button, into the little the search field, and just write 100,000 strong Evan Bayh, which is spelled B-A-Y-H.
Mm-hmm.
And the group will come up. It's called 100,000 Strong Against Evan Bayh for VP. And you just click join group, and then you click a button that says invite more people, and you invite all of your friends.
All right, I'm going to do that during the break right here, and I want to open up the phone lines to hear from our listeners. What do you think about this effort? Give us your comments about Evan Bayh and about Max Bernstein's idea here to build a movement and sign up people to send this message to Barack Obama while he's on vacation in that exotic location of Hawaii. We don't want Evan Bayh on the ticket. Get the message, Barack. Lines are open for you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. I'd like to hear from you about Evan Bayh as vice president.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Cindy Sheehan will be speaking at the Vets Hall in Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 14th. Are you angry at Nancy Pelosi for telling America that impeachment is off the table and for scheduling votes to continue funding the war on the people of Iraq and to authorize spying on Americans by the Bush administration? Join Cindy Sheehan Thursday, August 14th at the Veterans Memorial Building on Front Street in downtown Santa Cruz at 7 p.m. Browse to vetshall.org for more information. This event is sponsored by the Green Party of Monterey County.
Ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th.
Come on, ride the wave.
Ride the wave to Jessica Simpson and Randy Travis performing live right here at the Monterey County Fair. And free concerts every night at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Surf our site, MontereyCountyFair.com, for entertainment, free MST rides, parking, and additional fair info. Drop in and ride the wave to the Monterey County Fair, August 12th through the 17th. Buy your tickets online and save big. MontereyCountyFair.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Big problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains. CHP has issued a special alert southbound 17 before the summit. Broken down big rig with its brakes locked up. That blocks the right-hand lane. CHP is on the scene. It means everybody has to get by in the left lane. And traffic right now, horrible. Backed up all the way to Camden Avenue in Campbell. We do have one crash. It's in Carmel, Ocean Avenue at Hatton Road. Two cars. Looks like that's off to the side. CHP is on the way. No problems for Highway 68 right now. 101, as you make your way south from South San Jose down to the Morgan Hill area, you will see patches of slow-and-go traffic. This is brought to you by Carfax Vehicle History Reports. Do you know that a new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale in the United States has more than doubled? Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax Vehicle History Report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. Evan Bye for VP. I say ready, steady, stop! I'd like your comments. Evan Bye or who else for vice president? Who is acceptable to you? Any day now, and I expect it's going to be early next week. Text messages and emails will be sent out to those who signed up on the Obama website. And I'm one of them. I'm going to get an email, they promised me, when Obama reveals his pick. Max Bernstein with us, with Max and the Marginalized, the band that records a politically infused tune every week, and you can read all about it at HuffingtonPost.com, MySpace, and I'm up at Facebook right now. Max, you have my permission to use the idea here to do Ready, Steady, Stop. If you want, you don't do covers, though, right? You do.
We could.
Yeah?
We could make a special version of it.
Well, you decide.
We covered War Pigs.
Yeah? Okay, well, it's your band, and I'll never try to tell you what to do. So I'm now at the Facebook page, and if you go to Facebook.com, and then you do a search, 100,000, make sure all five zeros are in there, 100,000 strong against Evan Bye for VP, then you'll go to the page. And now, I'm a newbie here at Facebook, Max, so have I already been signed up, or do I need to do something else?
No, you need to go to the right-hand column.
Yeah?
And you need to click. Let me just make sure I got this all totally right for you here. I'm going over to the computer. You need to click.
He's helping the old man across the digital highway.
The join group button that's underneath that lovely picture of Mr. Bye.
Okay, well, I only have three options. View, invite people to join, or leave group. So I guess
you've already joined.
I have joined. All right. Now it's, what are we up to? 2,900? 2,800 and 22 is the current count.
Looks like we've got 2,826. Four more.
Okay, well, you're fresher than I am.
Yes.
I guess I'm one of those. So let's see. James Seidler is listed here from Notre Dame. Hoosier in exile. Carol at Ohio State, Ohioan against Evan Bye for VP. Lauren in Japan, Democrat abroad against Evan Bye. Lee in Jacksonville, Floridian. This is great. You've got a good cross-section of people, and we want people to sign up here, and let's get this message to Obama. Now, why did you decide to do it here at Facebook instead of on Obama's social networking site?
Well, there's more people on Facebook, for one, and I know that I'm a little bit more familiar with the platform, and, you know, I think that via Facebook, it's easier for a trend like this to spread virally based on the layout of it, because when I join this group, it puts a little thing up in what's called my news feed where all of my friends see that I've joined this group.
Sure,
and
your
then
RSS.
They look and they say, ooh, great idea. Let's all band together against Evan Bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea really spreads like wildfire, I have to say. It really speaks to Evan Bye's inadequacy as a candidate that this thing has just spread like it has without anybody pushing it.
Let's go to Pat in Monterey listening on KRXA 540. Hi, Pat.
Hello. I actually think Evan Bye would be a good choice, as a matter of fact.
Well, tell me why.
Well, you have to remember that the first thing that Obama needs to do is get elected.
Right.
So I think having somebody a little more conservative might be a great idea.
Mm. Well, so, you know, we saw John Kerry try to move to the center, and I think that's a failed concept. I think that this whole idea that, you know, you get your base to support you in the primary, and then you desert them and, you know, go for the middle, go for the big center in the general election, I think we've seen that fail too many times now.
Well, the problem that I had, I'm an independent, as a matter of fact, and the problem that I had with Kerry was that he, as far as I could see, was an empty suit. He did not give me any reason to vote for him at all. But I think that a vice presidential candidate doesn't really have any power other than what the president allocates to him.
Right.
And, you know, you can, I don't know who you would prefer as a VP, but...
Well, Bill Richardson and Tim Kaine, the governor of Virginia, is acceptable to me, and he could deliver a state. And I agree with your point that Obama has to get elected. I don't know that Indiana is winnable even with Evan Bayh. That's a very conservative state with a lot of Klan history there. Max, what's your thought?
Well, my thought is that Bill Richardson delivers a state just as well, if not twice as good as Evan Bayh does. I actually think that New Mexico doesn't have a chance for the Democrats unless they pick Bill Richardson, in which case they can't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have tons of data to back that up. But nonetheless,
like
Bill Richardson would really help carry New Mexico. I also think that, you know, I've just been traveling the whole country for the past month and have been, you know, and it's very common, and I understand that you'll hear people in California say, well, he has to get elected, and there's these people in these other places that I haven't really been to very much, but from what they tell me, these people want somebody like this. And yeah, I've been in a lot of these places and talked to a lot of these people. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that there are these people out there who think Obama is too liberal and just might vote for him if he picks somebody who's... entire career is based on being the opposite of Obama's. But
Max, I got to stop it there. Thank you very much. Max Bernstein, Max and the Marginalized, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
We're voting Republican because we don't like shopping at small neighborhood stores.
We don't want the problem of choosing where to shop.
And we just love cheap plastic crap from China.
I'm voting Republican because I don't really want a cure for AIDS or breast cancer. I just gaze in women.
I'm voting Republican because I think new drugs should be made available immediately, whether they've been tested properly or not. If the major pharmaceutical companies' bottom lines are healthy, then I feel healthy, too.
Bye-bye, baby. Have a good day. Yeah. I'm voting Republican so that my little Caitlin can be in a classroom with at least 30 other children. That way, she can be challenged by fighting for attention.
I'm voting Republican because women just can't be trusted to make decisions about their own bodies. Never, ever, ever.
I'm voting Republican because I've already seen the great outdoors. Continuing our use of fossil fuels freely is far more important than preserving our natural wildlands.
We're voting Republican because we like a conservative majority on the Supreme Court.
We really like knowing that even if we're separate, we'll still be called equal.
I'm voting Republican because I need to be told who I can love.
I told you.
Honey, I need the government to tell me.
I just need them to tell me how I can best show a lifetime commitment.
And Republicans are just the folks to do that, sweetheart.
I'm voting Republican because corporations should not have to pay to clean up environmental damage. The EPA is an outmoded idea. If people want clean water, buy it in a bottle.
I'm voting Republican because I don't want to know if the food I'm eating has been genetically modified or exposed to radiation. I don't want to have to live with that fear, you know? So, if the label says it's food, that's good enough for me.
I'm voting Republican because
I really enjoy being screwed by the utility companies.
We need more minorities in prison.
Because hybrid cars really suck.
I just don't feel I deserve health insurance.
Because Texas needs more billionaires.
I'm voting Republican because sometimes the Constitution is just one big inconvenient headache.
I think the whole world should be run by one big corporation. I think it'd be so much cozier.
Because all other countries are inferior to us.
And we should start as many wars as we need to keep it that way.
So I can stay in Iraq.
So I can go to Iran.
So if you were thinking about voting something besides Republican, don't bother. Stay home. We've got it all taken care of. You'll get exactly what you deserve.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina. Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
It's a beautiful day around San Francisco Bay. Wherever you are, whatever device you use, I'm glad you found the Peter B. Collins Show. Now spread the virus, will you?
The heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground, but there's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return for.
Come on, Bono, ditch the shades and get to the chorus, will you? We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Eureka, you've been quiet today, so give us a call and check in this free speech zone. We had baseball yesterday, and there's a baseball game tomorrow, but as far as I know, we are live and happening in Eureka today, so chime in at 888-573-8372. Chris and Salinas, you're up next. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. I just want to say I'll go for Evan Bayh for vice president if that'll get rid of him out of the Senate. As long as we can get a progressive Democrat in Indiana,
yeah,
which would be nice.
That
guy is the closest thing to a Republican, if not actually a Republican, than anyone in the Senate, besides Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I do hear you. The problem is that getting a progressive elected in Indiana is no easy task. I think that's one reason. He's a political chameleon, and I think that he appeals to the voters in Indiana who are quite conservative, and it's one of the reasons why I don't think Obama can carry the state, and so I'm not persuaded that adding him as the VP would carry Indiana and contribute to Electoral College count.
Well, I think that we can get progressives elected in any state. It's just that we the people need to get out and beat on the doors and beat the drums and get the true message out, because these same people in Indiana, like Kansas and all these other places, are just voting against their own interests. And it's because, like you've talked about before and we've discussed before, they're not getting the message. They're not getting your program. They're not getting Tom Harmon, et cetera. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're not getting the true information.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the next state, in Ohio, and my perception of Indiana is that it is a vast cornfield with the Indy 500, with Notre Dame, the University of Indiana, and just a couple of other redeeming factors. But by and large, it's a kind of vacuous place, and so I'm not that encouraged that if we got by out of the Senate, which I agree with you is a worthy goal, we would be able to replace him. First of all, if
keep up the good work. I'm going to lose you. Sorry.
All right, gotcha, Chris. Just to complete the thought, if Bai were named to the ticket and vacated his Senate seat from Indiana, the Republican Governor Mitch Daniels, who served in the Bush White House in the first term, would appoint a Republican. So that's not a net gain, but interesting idea, and I appreciate the thought, Chris. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. And every week about this time, we check in with the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch and its intrepid investigative reporter, R.J. Schulman. You can visit the website ptsd1.blogspot.com. And he is an ingenious reporter who covers the stories that get missed by the mainstream media, and he's done it again. RJ, I'm looking at your website, Obama on vacation in Hawaii, and you've got the scoop here. We're talking about the VP pick, and my listeners can't stomach Evan Bai. You probably picked up that drift. So what's Obama going to do?
Well, Obama's got a really bad situation, a really tough call here. Before we get into the story, I just wanted to, say that I don't think it's really fair to put down Indiana as a hotbed for vice presidents, because one of the greatest ones of all time came from there, and that's, of course, Dan Quayle.
Enough said.
Okay, all right. Anyway, Obama has got a real problem, because if he picks a male, and if he picks a Democrat, obviously the guy, if a guy looks at women or has cheated on his wife, he's finished.
Yeah.
If he's got a guy who hasn't really chased after women, the corporate media is going to call him gay, and he's got a problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got to look to picking a woman. The problem is he can't pick Hillary. And that's what the story says here. The insiders in his camp say he can't do that because she's come out and said he's not ready to lead, which is the real battle cry for the opposition for McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if he picks another woman, all of the Hillary supporters are not going to support him, and it's going to be a real problem for him. So he's got to have something very patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the inside scoop at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch that he's either going to pick an apple pie or a flag pin.
Oh, my God. Now, it's got to be the apple pie, because he has just really recently converted to wearing a flag pin all the time.
Yeah, I think that's true. He kind of has that covered. The positive for an apple pie is it's kind of warm and sweet, and that goes over very well with the American public. And, it can strike back a little bit by being tart. The problem that they're worried about is the carry factor. And what I mean by that is, well, an apple pie can kind of sit there and let other people cut them to pieces. So. the flag pin, you can't say you're not patriotic if you're wearing the flag pin.
That's true. Yeah, but you could be accused of being stuck or stuck up.
That's right, and you're exactly right. You've caught on. The idea with the pin is you can get stuck in a certain direction, and no matter how idiotic it is, they stay the course, and we know where that gets us. So.
Right.
He's got a tough choice.
Now, RJ, as a reporter, have you signed up for the e-notification of Barack's pick? You have a choice of text message or email.
Well, actually, we're probably going to know it first, and we may be emailing everybody ourselves.
I see.
So,
okay.
Because we get the scoops first. But, yes, we're on the list to find out who the VP is going to be.
Okay. Well, if you hear it first, you got my email, so please check.
Absolutely. We'll send it to you. But right now, as I said, it may be somebody that nobody – or something that nobody's thought of yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, next up here, a story about George W. Bush, really lecturing the Russians on their illegal invasion and occupation of Georgia. This is rich stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, I when he was saying those things, it really floored me.
And once again, yeah. RJ, you don't clean up the president's quotes, and whether he was falling down drunk at the Olympics or not, This is what he said, and you've got the actual quote. The world does not supporticate your unlawfully illegal invasion and occupation of another sovereign nation which has sovereignty. What makes it so bad is that innocent local civilians who live there locally get killed just because you are greedy to get your blood-soaked hands on their oil. You do that sort of thing and the whole world will despicate you. That's a new one for me.
That is despisicate.
Oh, despisicate. And once you're captured, dead or alive. Wow, that's breathtaking.
Yeah, I mean, absolute irony there. I mean, just, and then the corporate media is missing that. You know, they were talking about how many medals the U.S. had won. They were talking about, what was going on in Georgia and how bad the Russians were. And I think a lot of people are very, very comfortable with Russia being the bad guys again, especially McCain, because he doesn't have to worry about Shiites or Sunnis. He just has to worry about either you're with us or you're a commie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty easy. So some folks are really enjoying this, if you want to call it that.
And one other exclusive you have related to Bush's plan to send troops to Georgia via Iran. That's very convenient.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do that. He's going to kind of kill two birds with one stone. He's going to go after the commies, and he's going to send them through Iran because, first of all, it's a, in his mind, it's a more direct route, and it saves some gas money. Secondly, they can be checking for those weapons of mass destruction on the way.
Yeah. All right, RJ, you've done it again. You've got the news that you can find nowhere else. It's on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com, and that is the site of the Post Times Sun Dispatch. RJ Shulman, thank you.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, very good. I appreciate your work. Yeah. Let's see who's on line one here. Let me check my screen. It's John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Is anybody really surprised that Obama would do this when he's been showing so many tendencies rightward? It is. The biggest question is this just posturing and fishing for probably illusory votes, or is it a real indicator or many indicators that this guy is far more right-leaning than any of us wants to believe, even me, and I'm not voting for him, not at least unless he makes some major changes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just, this Biden thing is just one more reason I'm not gonna vote for him. I'm not only gonna leave the Democratic Party, which I just haven't done because I haven't yet gotten to the office in Salinas where I'll officially do it.
Mm-hmm.
But my thinking is that if you start joining third parties, you're not only gonna help bring the Democrats to being more like Democrats, but when it gets divided into threesomes, this tyranny of the majority, and the majority is, unfortunately, far more like Indiana than our listeners are. And that's just reality. So we're going to have this tyranny. If you have a third party powerful enough to really compete with the Republicans and the Democrats, this tyranny of the majority is going to get far easier to overcome.
Well, John, I do hear you, and I agree that ideally I'd like to see us break the lock of the two-party system and develop a more fluid politics in this country. And unfortunately, it takes a lot of change, and it's not the kind of change Obama is promoting, but internal change that would be blocked by the very people of the two parties who would suffer if we opened up the process more. And so I believe that the Green Party has the best opportunity to develop a solid base and a core of elected officials in this country for the long-term effort to challenge the dominance of the existing two parties. And so I really do encourage people to look at the local level and also to promote Greens who are running for Congress. Because if we had even 10 Green congresspeople in the House of Representatives, they could be a swing block that could break the conservative tilt of a Democratic majority and support a progressive tilt. And that, to me, is the best simple calculation of trying to develop a third party with a strong enough base to actually challenge the dominance and ultimately use the process to change this control that the two parties have.
Are you going to join the Greens?
I vote Green on a regular basis.
You vote, but you're not a member of the party yet.
No, I'm not. I have not joined parties partly because of my role here. I'm a little more comfortable being a declined estate voter and dipping into the parties when I feel that they support the right policies.
Well, the Democrats have just decided to depart with anything related to progressivism. It's regressivism that they seem more inclined to go for, and I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's immoral, it's an abomination to me. I know that's a strong word, but I'm just, if my parents could have seen where it's gone, they were middle-of-the-road Democrats, but I'm sure they would be appalled at what's happened. It's just unreal.
John, I thank you for your call today, and I just want to underscore that Evan Bayh has not yet been named Obama's vice president, and I encourage you to go to Facebook, enter 100,000 strong Evan Bayh in the search window, and add your name. It's one way of sending that message, and I hope it is received and accepted, you know, like he actually takes our advice. We'll take a break and return. Your phone calls are welcome here in the Free Speech Zone. I've got room for one or two more. Dial in now at 888-5-PETER-B. And grab a podcast. Share it with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting with a major problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Been there since 4:22 this afternoon. This is southbound 17 at Redwood Estates. A dump truck broken down, partially blocking the right-hand lane. CHP on the scene, but you are backed up all the way to Highway 85 in Los Gatos. Separate problem, southbound 17 at Brush Road. That's another stall in the right-hand lane. South 101 before San Martin Avenue in San Martin. Grass fire on the shoulder. Some smoke visible, causing traffic to slow out there. Fire department is on the scene, knocking that down. And in Carmel, Ocean Avenue at Hatton Road, a two-car fender bender, that's off to the right-hand shoulder. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for the final days of their extreme denim sale. With the best selection of Levi's, they have your fit, JCPenney. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Oh,
The Peter B. Collins Show will be bringing you our exclusive live coverage from the Democratic National Convention in Denver. And if Evan Bayh is selected as VP, you will hear critical voices. I guarantee it. We're still looking for a little more help to cover our costs for coverage of the Democratic National Convention. And you can log on to my website at peterbcollins.com. There's a link at the top that says you can help. And it explains the ways you can do that. I want to thank all the people who've made contributions. Your support is very important to me. And by the way, if you don't do the web thing, you don't have access to the internet, you can just drop me a line. In snail mail to Box 100, that's Post Office Box 100, Mill Valley, California, zip code 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. Haven't been to the box for a few days, so I'll drop by there over the weekend and see what kind of correspondence has arrived. And again, I appreciate all your support, however you choose to express it. Billy's on the line from Capitola. Hello, Billy.
Where are you going to be next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday, I'm taking the day off because, just to, so you understand my big plans.
I need to know every minute where you are.
Well, Wednesday, I'm taking the day off to join some relatives on a tour of the Napa Valley.
Oh.
And then Thursday, I'll be here on the air, and then I'm flying to Seattle on Thursday evening. Friday morning, I'm giving a talk to a national convention of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Good union men.
Yes, they are.
And women.
Well, they're the Sparkies who help keep radio and television stations on the air, among other things.
Wow, really important.
And then I'll be originating live from our affiliate in Seattle, KPTK, next Friday. And then I come back and leave Sunday for Denver, where we will provide our coverage of the convention. And I'll just note that Scott Dick, who wasn't able to be with us today in his usual slot, will be sitting in for me next Wednesday on this program. And then Billy's going to help him out on the evening show at KRXA in Monterey.
Exactly. What fun we'll have.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
So where are you on this buy thing? Okay. I'd like to take a buy on buy.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the question. The governor is a Republican?
Mitch Daniels, yes.
So, you know, that's why it shouldn't be buy right there.
Well, I agree. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, so it should probably be our Delaware Senator Biden.
Well, I could accept that, but you know, Delaware is not a critical state. He certainly could deliver those three or four electoral votes.
Good point.
But he'll probably deliver them whether he's on the ticket or not.
Right, that's right.
And you know, the interesting play is that Governor Kaine of Virginia is widely regarded as capable of delivering the state to the Democrats. And then he would be able to wink and nod and appoint his replacement, or actually a lieutenant governor steps in as governor and appoints his choice as replacement as governor there. The same would occur with Bill Richardson in New Mexico. So there's kind of a twofer where if you choose a governor, the mechanisms are there to ensure that a Democrat replaces that Democratic governor. But in Indiana, Bayh would vacate a seat that would be subject to a Republican appointment.
So that's why it should. That's one more reason why the negative Bayh thing ought to work.
Well, we can hope, and you know, part of this, and excuse me, I am a little reluctant to, you know, push these things out too far on a speculative basis, but you know, the threads that we see on the internet indicate that Bayh's possibilities have risen above 50-50, and so that does concern people like me. And in general, you've noticed I haven't been talking a lot about the VP thing because much of it is beyond our control.
Right. It's all guesswork now.
Yeah. But I certainly would like to send this signal that Evan Bayh is unacceptable to me and many other progressives in this country, hoping that Obama is actually listening.
And especially when Obama himself has been, as John pointed out, moving, you know, so far away from the left. But my message to John, who should call the show tonight, is you're going to still have to vote for Obama over McCain, while Peter is, of course, right about what you're supposed to do down ticket, which would be vote green. Absolutely right about that, Peter.
Yeah, where you can. But, you know, California is so heavily gerrymandered that we don't really have a choice. I mean, the choice is made in the primary. About which Democrat is going to win a gerrymandered district. And, I think Sam Farr is a good congressman. Knocking him off for a green, that would kind of be a tough call. But, you know, people like Jane Harmon.
That's an easy call.
I'd love to see her retire and have that seat go green. Dan Lundgren, green it up. So, you know, these are the things that we have to deal with. And part of the problem we have, Billy, that was really accentuated this year was that there was so much energy and focus on the presidential primaries that the work that needed to be done earlier this year to, for example, unseat a conservative Democrat, oh, like Jim Costa in the Central Valley, or even Dennis Cardoza, not an all bad guy, but on critical issues, he votes with the Republicans. And, you know, the only place you could have changed that is in the primary. And so now the incumbents, incumbent machinery will carry all these people to victory. And the Greens don't have a choice, not a choice, they don't really have a chance in the general election just because the way the deck is stacked.
But as John was pointing out, and as you and I think agree, the fact is that the Democratic Party doesn't support the liberal Democrats who challenge the conservative Democrats in these primaries. Time and time again, they stand with the conservative, and that's why the party ultimately doesn't work for us.
Another example of what you just cited is Clint Curtis in Florida, the election protection whistleblower who's been on our show many times. He ran against Tom Feeney, the guy who tried to hire him to fix elections 5-10 years ago, and almost beat him. In fact, we think he did win, but the House Administration Committee wouldn't even look at the information that they brought about the fixed election there. And so I believe that Clint Curtis earned the right to run again. And what did the Democrats do? Well, they inserted a self-funded millionaire woman to run against him. So we do have to see an end to that process. And, well, we got work to do no matter what happens. Thank you, Billy.
Bye-bye.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration has been frustrated with Pervez Musharraf, prodding him to do more against Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters in the tribal areas that border Afghanistan. But U.S. officials have considered him better than any alternative in Pakistan, so Musharraf's departure could be a serious setback. CBS News Foreign Affairs correspondent Lara Logan reports Musharraf is expected to step down within days.
The problem right now is that the U.S. doesn't have a powerful ally within the Pakistani government because the Pakistani government itself is fractured. It doesn't have clear policies. Even their own military chiefs are standing by uncertain who is going to emerge as the most powerful faction. There's all this infighting and bickering.
Musharraf reportedly has cut a deal with the new coalition government. He won't be impeached or put on trial for treason if he goes quietly. In Georgia, President Mikhail Saakashvili said today that a convoy of Russian armor was on the move between two major cities.
Right now, Russian troops physically control and out one-third of my country.
That includes the disputed regions of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, which the Russians have taken into their fold. What will the Bush administration do? CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Secretary of Defense Gates is warning Moscow there will be consequences.
If Russia does not step back from its aggressive posture,
the U.S.-Russian relationship could be adversely affected for years to come.
He said the Russians saw an opportunity and seized it.
I think to punish Georgia for daring to try to integrate with the West.
And how did Russian troops perform?
In the context of what they did, as opposed to how they did it, they performed very badly.
But he said he does not see a role for U.S. troops beyond humanitarian assistance. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
President Bush went to CIA headquarters today for a lengthy briefing on the situation. He travels to his Texas ranch tomorrow, and Secretary of State Rice will report to him there on Saturday when she returns from Tbilisi. Barack Obama said they'd work it out, and they did. Today, his office and Hillary Clinton's jointly announced that her name will be placed in nomination at the Democratic convention. Vaughn Ververs is senior political editor at CBSNews.com.
This appears to be something that's been done very amicably between the two. It's